I would say that this is really unprecedented, the amount of raw sewage that's entering the Potomac River. So we're seeing levels of E. coli that are thousands of times above recreational water quality standards.
So what kind of environmental and public health impact are we seeing at this point?
So we are encouraged that we're seeing E. coli concentrations decline as the weeks go by since the original sewage spill. We do see some variability in terms of the concentrations that we're measuring because we know that there have been subsequent releases of sewage since the original spill on January 19th.
But Dr. Goldstein, what could come in the future? And is there anything environmentally that could make this worse?
So we're going to need to continue to monitor what's happening in the river and the different types of bacteria that are present as we see temperatures rise, as we see the snow starting to melt. There are lots of different dynamics that can impact bacteria. We've been measuring just two types of bacteria, E. coli, but also a pathogen called Staphylococcus aureus. So both of these types of bacteria can cause infections in humans. And so we really need to understand over time what the impacts are, who's being exposed, especially our most vulnerable populations.
Now, the Washington area was in the deep freeze for a number of days. At some point, some parts of the river were frozen over. Did that help or hurt the Potomac as far as the pollution level here?
Right. So we were still able to detect both E. coli and Staphylococcus aureus, and actually also the antibiotic resistant strain of Staph aureus called MRSA, even when it was freezing temperatures. So we were out there when the river was frozen. We were breaking through the ice with hammers to get our water samples. We were still able to detect these bacteria. And so it's important that as the temperatures rise, that we continue to follow the situation to know if the bacteria are still able to survive, which we know they actually prefer warmer temperatures, which is what we're starting to see now.
Dr. Goldstein, talk to us about how much testing you will continue to do so people maybe have a sense of how big this really is.
Right. So we've been going out, our team, for the past 4 weeks since the spill first occurred, every week, along with the Potomac Riverkeeper Network. We'd love to continue sampling, although we think that this really takes longer term monitoring so that we understand as the seasons continue to change and we see more people interacting with the Potomac River, we can really make sure that we're trying to keep the public safe.
President Trump has suggested that he wants federal help in this. Do you think federal help will alleviate this situation any quicker?
I'd have to say that's really outside my area of expertise. You know, we're really focused at the School of Public Health on protecting public health. We believe it's important that the water continues to be monitored so that we can keep those that interact with the river safe.
Well, Dr. Goldstein, tell our listeners why. We've gotten advisories from Maryland and Virginia, their health departments, and I think natural resources as well in Maryland, telling people to stay away from the Potomac. Is that continued good advice, and how long do you think it will take for that maybe to stay in effect?
So I think based on what we know now, especially at the site of the spill, which is closest to Lock 10, it's extremely important that everyone continues to not interact with the river as well as the land that's near the river because of these high levels of bacteria that we're seeing. So that includes people staying away, but also keeping your pets away, especially from this area right near the site where we're continuing to see high levels of bacteria.